Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, and on a Wednesday morning, good morning to you. Let's check what's been happening in Chicago after the resumption of trade at the CME Group. Futures are trading higher in the corn pit, up 1 to 2 cents for the day. Beans are a penny to 2 cents higher as well. Wheat futures are up 6 in the lead option December. Bean meal is down 80 cents. Bean oil is up 47 cents. Live cattle futures down 65. Feeders are 25 cents lower, and the lean hogs are up 22.5 cents. The overnight shows us that the national average basis for corn was down a penny, weaker at 32 cents under the December futures contract. The index was down 6 cents for the national cash price at $2.94, that for the DTN corn index. The national average basis for soybeans, 12 cents weaker at 35 cents under the November futures contract, while the DTN national soybean index was 14 cents lower at $9.01 for the cash price for soybeans. Now let's check the weather forecast. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City has left us an update.
Most of the U.S. weather is going to continue to be quite favorable as we move forward through these next few days, but a change to something a little bit different is likely to occur as we move through next week. What I'm meaning by that is that we will transition out of the unusually warm and dry bias and move into one that is considerably cooler and also wetter, at least for a little while. So the change will not only impact the U.S. Midwest, but it will also be a factor for parts of the U.S. Delta, the southeastern states, as well as portions of the U.S. Plains and the Canadian prairies. All of these areas will translate their weather pattern into a colder one, with a period of rain likely to occur as we move from one extreme of temperatures to the other. Frost and freezes will be back into the heart of the U.S. Midwest by the time we get to the end of next week and into the following weekend. That is a long way out in the forecast, of course, leaving plenty of time for changes to the forecast. But with that said, the trend model that we run here does suggest that period in late in the first week of October and early into the second week will be notably cooler and possibly even bringing some earlier than usual frost and freezes to some locations. We'll wait and see what happens as we get closer to that event. In the meantime, though, weather conditions across the Midwest will stay very good for the next few days. We do have some showers out there across the Western Corn Belt today, and most of that is running from Kansas into parts of Minnesota, and the rainfall rate has actually increased a little bit here this morning in some of those locations. But the precipitation is expected to diminish as it moves eastward, and we'll likely see most of the eastern parts of the U.S. Midwest staying dry through a big part of the next 7 days. We'll expect the first wave of cooling to begin to push into the Western Corn Belt as we get into this weekend coming up and on into the early part of next week. This first wave of precipitation is not expected to be a very significant or well-organized one, but we will still see showers and thunderstorms beginning to evolve across the region from portions of Kansas northward into Nebraska and to South Dakota as well as Minnesota. And this will occur as we go from Sunday into Monday of next week. The rain will then gradually work its way further to the east. And again, it will probably diminish somewhat as it gets out into the central portions of the Midwest around midweek next week. Early indications suggest that this rain event might produce a couple tenths to 3/4 of an inch of rain and something locally greater, but not much more than that, and the precipitation event will be followed by a reinforcing shot of cooler air that will have a much bigger impact in generating greater rainfall across a part of the Midwest, and that will occur at the end of next week going into the following weekend. The temperature bias in the Midwest is going to continue to be notably warmer than usual as we go forward through this next several-day period. We expect the high temperatures today to run the 70s across a big part of the region, with some upper 60s across the Great Lakes region. We'll look for temperatures tomorrow and on into the weekend running in the upper 70s and lower 80s across a big part of the region, with the warmest weather in the central and south as well as the far west. As we go into the late weekend and early part of next week, some of those northwestern areas will turn a little cooler, but nothing dramatically cold. In fact, temperatures will probably just come down to near normal and nothing below it. It's not until late next week that we see that reinforcing shot of cold air coming along, and that's when we'll start seeing temperatures more notably down relative to where we are now. Low temperatures over these next few nights will be mostly in the 50s. There'll be a handful of upper 40s once in a while, and maybe a few lower 60s in the south. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks, of course, go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City for his update of the weather forecast each and every opening market report here on willag.org. In Chicago, December corn now pinning a quarter higher, 326 and three quarters. July at 355 and a half, up 1.5 cents. November beans at 938 and a quarter, up 2. And the July there at 964 and three quarters, up 1.25. Wheat futures are up 6.5 cents in the soft red December at 482 and a half at this hour. Live cattle futures at 154.80 are down 65 in the lead option October. October feeders at $1.25 lower, 228.90 the trade. And October lean hogs on their last tick at $108.17 and a half. Up 30 cents. Let's turn our attention directly to the marketplace and discuss some of what's been happening. Bill Gentry at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Todd. Glad to be with you again.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the wheat market. I know that many have been hopeful that this market could lead things higher eventually. Is there good or bad news in the wheat futures today?
Today, I think there's some good news. We've been looking for the wheat market to express a little bit of leadership to the upside, and we have been lacking a catalyst. But what may be starting to surface on the commercial side of the equation is that we've seen some cancellation of receipts. Apparently 230 receipts were canceled, delivery receipts yesterday for the Chicago futures, and reportedly this week about 100 contracts have been canceled against the Kansas City wheat futures. A lot of times when that happens, it tells us that maybe the commercials have an alternate alternate need for that wheat, and they're going to maybe use that for their domestic consumption or for export rather than delivered against the futures. One thing to note too is we're probably more price competitive against the Mediterranean wheat prices. Historically, we're not necessarily the first to be picked, tapped on the shoulder for new wheat, but if we are price competitive, that does take away some of the sense of urgency or the downside pressure in the futures market.
Is your bias here that this will be wheat for export to the Mediterranean, do you suppose?
I don't really think that it is. I think the bottom line is from the commercial side of the equation, if I've got an inventory that's sitting someplace, I don't necessarily have to put that sense of urgency and put it into deliverable position. I could probably sit on it, sell the carry, and wait for another opportunity down the road.
Let me delve just a little deeper into this, because
sure.
This brings back to my memory some times where it was certainly possible to put wheat into storage, and because of the way the contracts were set up at the CME group,
yes.
That it was easy to make money on that, so that maybe that's the more likely
scenario. It very well could. I would say I don't have a real sharp pencil when it comes to the variable storage rates for wheat storage. I do think that we did see a period of time where we had basis levels that were $1.50 under, that you couldn't hardly get move wheat because the commercials were basically collecting that storage. Those rules have been changed to some degree to negate that particular process, but I don't know the final answer on that.
I made my way through the countryside into town today and was pleasantly surprised by the number of corn acres that had been harvested, though I suspect that may have been part and parcel of the Andersons' Saturday drive to put some corn in the bins early.
Mm-hmm.
How is harvest moving along?
It's very sporadic. Drove down to Mattoon, Illinois yesterday and south of Champaign. Got about 30 miles south there and saw some stuff moving. Over by us, south of Lafayette, stuff's going fairly good. North up by me, about 20 miles. We're not doing very much. It's exceptionally wet. We've still got standing water in some places. So I think it's kind of haphazard, but as far as the commercials are concerned, if they want something, they can probably get it. There are some areas that can go while others can't. I think, too, that just looking at the marketplace, you know, corn's trying to stand in a little bit today following the wheat market. Beans are steady. We're trying to be mindful that this is still a pretty wide-open harvest window, and we would still expect to see some hedge pressure on Friday.
So a bit lower maybe in the corn pit by the end of the week?
Yeah, we're enjoying this little bounce, and it looks good. We'll see a little bit of green on the screen, but don't expect it to last forever.
We'll let it go there. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thanks, Todd.
Bill Gentry, of course, is with Risk Management Commodities. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the opening market report from willag.org. You're listening to WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. It is Illinois Public Media. You can find the whole of the radio station and TV station at will.illinois.edu. EU. Let's take a quick look at the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the day, sunny skies and a high near 75, just 56 degrees outside our studios now. Mostly clear with a low of 51 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and 78, partly cloudy tomorrow evening in 52, and sunny skies on Friday with a high of 78 degrees. A calm wind there. Mostly clear on Friday night for football, a low of 55 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny and 79. Find us online at willag.org. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Good morning. President Obama addresses the United Nations General Assembly today, and on his agenda is building more support for the U.S.-led fight against ISIS. More on Morning Edition from NPR News. ISIS is not the only target of U.S. airstrikes. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston tells us about the al-Qaeda-linked Khorasan group. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Audie Cornish. War Zone documentaries in places like ISIS-controlled Syria have helped bring Vice Media to prominence. CEO Shane Smith explains how millennials have been key to its rapid growth. Also this hour, with world leaders meeting in New York to discuss climate change, we ask Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz what role the U.S. will play. It's Wednesday, September 24th. On this day in 1957, the Dodgers played their last game at Ebbets Field. The news is next.